by the presence of the Holy Spirit is what we desire here today. I'm going to be reading scripture. I'm going to be speaking. You've heard the praise team singing. And we can come together and we can just feel good about what we're doing. But that's not what we're here about. We're here to engage with the God of the universe, the God our Father, the God the Son who died on a cross, but then just a couple of Sundays ago we celebrated the fact He rose from the dead, but also the Holy Spirit who is with us every single day, every minute of every day. And we want that to be something that just comes all over us. So when I share, as I share today, I don't want you to hear me. I'm going to share some things that hopefully everything I say is what God's leading me to do. But I don't want you to hear simply the words coming out of my mouth. I want you to be open for the Holy Spirit to do something that's never going to happen just by listening to words spoken by Greg McCormick. So as we move into this time, let's pray for just that. Lord, it is so good to be here. And Lord, we know we don't have to come here to be in your presence, for you are omnipresent. You're in all places. But Lord, this is a good place because we come here and we specifically set this time aside and try to push away distractions, and we come here celebrating with each other, realizing that we have you in common and that we support each other and encourage each other as we look towards you. So Lord, we know already your Spirit is here. May we truly just be overcome by that in the next few minutes in a way that makes a profound impact on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How meaningful is your life? I told you last week, if you were here, we're going to be talking about really living a life of purpose and passion with the plan that God has set out for us. So I first start off, if you're just honest, I don't want you to answer it out loud. Answer it to yourself. Think about it. How meaningful is your life right now? Are you living each day with purpose? Do you know that your life is making a difference? Do you wake up with anticipation that today is going to be a special day every single morning? Are you making a difference in the family, community, and the world in which you live? Think about that honestly. Are you making a difference in the family, the community, and the world in which you live? If you can answer emphatically yes to these questions, then I commend you, because more than likely you're really in a good place of where God wants you to be, and I challenge you to continue to be the person God created you to be. But if your answer to these questions are no, or not quite, or maybe sometimes, then today I want us to look together at what it means to be who God created you to be. Do you hear that? Because I believe God created you to be those things that we just talked about. I believe God created you to have a meaningful life. I believe God created us to live a life of purpose. I believe, I truly believe, and this is hard to get your mind around, I think, but I believe God wants us to wake up every single day with a sense of anticipation that today, even though we may not know what it's going to be about, even though we may be facing challenges, that today is going to be a special day. And I really believe we can do that. And I truly believe that you are called. Part of your plan is for you to make a difference in your family, in your community, and the world in which you live. You're not just someone who's rolling along on the world, taking up space and spending time until you go to the great beyond. There's a purpose for you. Well, I want all of the children. Anybody that's not in middle school or high school, raise your hand. Okay. All right. This is what I want you to do. Y'all listen to me. And the rest of you can listen if you want to, but they're the ones I really want to hear. God created you to be. And I want you to remember, I want you to know forevermore what God created you to be. God created you to be a disciple of Christ. All of you hear that? All right, I'm going to do it, and I want you to fill in the end of the sentence, okay? God created me to be a... All right, Y'all can do better than that. All right, we're going to do it together. Christian did really well. I heard him all the way up here. So Christian's our leader. Y'all got to follow along. All right, first time, I'm going to actually get everybody to help. Then I'm going to ask the children to do it again. So all of you are going to do it the first time. God created us to be. All right, you said several different things, and that's okay. We're going to say a disciple of Christ. Some said disciples of Christ. We're going to say a disciple of Christ. All right, children, do it this time. See if you get it right. God created us to be awesome. Y'all remember that because we're going to have it some more times during the thing, okay? God created us to be a disciple of Christ. And if you are a disciple of Christ, then I believe these things we talked about at the beginning are going to happen. So we're going to look at what all that's about today. I'm asking, are you a disciple? If you're not sure, maybe we need to start back at how you become a disciple. And I believe you become a disciple. I believe the scripture talks about us becoming a disciple by following God's lead. You can't decide you're going to be a disciple. You can't decide, yeah, I hear what Pastor Greg said. I'm going to have a life of purpose. I'm going to get up every morning. It's going to be great. I'm just going to decide. I'm going to do it. You can't do it. It is not possible for you to be the one that does that. We have to follow God's lead. So what I want us to look at, the first thing, and I think this is where we have to start, is John 3:16. And many of you know it by heart, but I'm going to read it from the scripture. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the first thing is we have to follow God in terms of recognizing that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We're not perfect. And that if we come to him and we confess those sins, then we can have him as our Lord and Savior. We recognize that he died, rose again, just like we celebrated a couple of Sundays ago on Easter. And because of that, we can have everlasting life. But that eternal life, and this is a whole different sermon, that eternal life doesn't begin when we get to heaven. That eternal life begins now because our lives become so much different at that point. And so we need to understand that. But you can't do anything until you've done that. You can't begin to think about being a disciple. And you know there are people in churches who try to do that? There really are. They think that being a disciple is following a bunch of rules. They've heard all these things they're supposed to do. They read the Bible. They come to church. And they've heard the salvation thing before, but weren't too sure about that because that just seemed not too comfortable, so they didn't go there. So they try to do all this on their own, and it just doesn't work. There's got to be a relationship, a real genuine relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So that's the first part of following, and we have to know that. And you'll be invited. If you don't already know that, we give almost every single Sunday an opportunity for you to come forward, make that public. I would love to talk to you about that. Or if that's not the way you want to do it, I'll talk to you about it. There are plenty of other people here who would talk about it if you're more comfortable. But that's the most important decision you can and will ever make in your life. And that's the beginning of following God's lead. But from there, we have another place to go. And this is the focal passage today. If you look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And this is also known as the Great Commission. And this is what we read. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, all right, children, God created us to be, yes, very good. I'm liking it. So what I want to talk about now is the fact in terms of being a disciple, there's God's role and there's our role. And there's this, and I know very few of you can even read this, and I understood that when I put it up there, but I'll tell you why I put it here. Because we're going to be talking about this type of life, living this type of life for a while, and there are several quotes that I found. It was written, actually, by a guy who's a part of Baptist General Association of Virginia. He's part of what they call a V3 movement, church planning, discipleship. And I read this several months ago, but there are some amazing practical statements about what discipleship is. And so I'm pulling in a lot of those in sermons I'm doing the next few weeks. And I'm actually going to take these and I'm going to put them at different places on the in the halls around the church. And as you go by, I hope there'll be times you'll just stop and think. Because when we talk about discipleship, a lot of times it's a churchy word. And we don't necessarily know what we put in that and what it means. But these statements are very everyday life living type of things. And so this is where I want to start. When it comes to making disciples, we need to remember God's part and our part, understanding we can't do his and he won't do ours. You get that? We're talking about that we're responding to God's lead. When it comes to making disciples, we need to remember God's part and our part, understanding we can't do his and he won't do ours. Let's talk about that for a minute. First, I want to look at what God's role is. God's role in discipleship. First of all, God will instruct you. Because it says in here, it says, therefore go and make disciples. It says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Well, if you're going to teach them what God's commanded you, God has to instruct you before that's going to happen, right? Right? I'm just seeing Dave's look. Is that true? If you're going to teach somebody else what God's taught you, God's got to teach that to you first, right? Okay. Stay with me. Don't lose me. So God will instruct you. How and why does God instruct you? How does that happen? When does it happen? Where do you go? Is that what happens when you're sitting in Sunday school and you listen to your teacher? Is that God's instructions to you? And you get them just every Sunday or whenever it is you come? Now, we have some amazing teachers. And you will get instruction and you will get God's instruction when you come at that time. But that's only a tidbit of what God's instruction is really all about. Because God's instruction comes in format of every aspect of your life. One of the first places, and one of maybe the most important place, I think, is the Bible to go in terms of God's instruction. There is a fine man of wisdom I had an opportunity to visit with this week who happens to be in this room. And one of the things that we talked about was just the Bible in general. And he said, you know, the book of Proverbs just really seems to almost encapsulate aspects of the entire Bible. And that's true. If you take time to read through the book of Proverbs, there are very few situations that you're going to come about in life that somehow or another that's not addressed in the book of Proverbs. Now, it's true throughout the whole Bible. But Proverbs is just one very good example of that. So if you haven't read through the book of Proverbs, consider doing that. Maybe reading one proverb every day. But these are how God will instruct you. I believe God will instruct you in terms of the way you interact and respond with your family. I believe God will teach you, lead you, instruct you about friendships. I believe God will instruct you in terms of your finances, in terms of work and school, in terms of suffering and pain. You know, we talked about that earlier. And I talked about how God wants to bless us and God wants every day to be special. And you know, there's some days, it depends on how you define special. Special, when I talk about special, doesn't mean it's going to be a happy-go-lucky day and everything's going to be great and it's going to be a party all day long. But sometimes the most special things, the most significant things that happen in our lives are in the midst of pain and suffering. And we need to recognize that God is a part of instructing us, leading and guiding us at those times, as well as with decision making. Decision making is something all too often we get caught up for different reasons and we have to make these decisions and we want to pull in all these different resources and how we're going to make the best decision. And sometimes even us as believers fail to include the most important thing, and that's the fact that Jesus Christ knows everything. God knows everything. So why don't we include him in that decision-making process? And Scripture is a great place to start. But I want to go back through it again. I'm going to actually mention every one of those again, but I want you to hear it in this context. Not only is the Bible a great place, a place that needs to be a part of our lives in terms of understanding God's instruction, coming to Sunday school, being a part of a teaching group, but also something... it's even more than that. The body of Christ. And when I'm talking about being a part of the body of Christ, I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. I'm talking about being a body of Christ that you're spending time with each other in a way that's going to build each other up. That when you're challenging, when you're struggling with something, there's somebody else you can go to and you have that conversation with them, and it makes a difference in how you're able to view things and direction you're able to go. And by the way, when somebody else is struggling with something, you're able to go and do the same thing for them. So think about that in terms of how this type of family of believers God uses for instruction in terms of family, friendships, finances, work in school, suffering, and decision making. God uses us and instructs us in those ways. We have to listen to and respond to God's instruction. That has to happen. That's our part. And God will be with you. You're not alone. This is what else God says. God will be with you. You're not alone. It won't be easy, but what we're talking about is beyond ourselves. Remember I said you can't do it? Discipleship is something that's beyond us. It's not something we have the ability to do and God just tells us how to do it and we get there. It's beyond us. If you're being a disciple of Christ, you're going to accomplish stuff, and people who've known you all of your life are going to say, how in the world did Matt Ward do that? He doesn't have the ability to. I ain't never seen him do nothing like that. Where did that come from? And then as we continue to live that way, people understand it's not about Matt Ward. It's about Jesus Christ living in Matt Ward. And Matt Ward's not following his own will. Matt Ward is moving in a direction God has led him to move. And that can be true for every one of us in here. That's why God's instruction has to be followed. When it comes to making disciples, we need to remember God's part and our part, understanding we can't do His and He won't do ours. You got that now? Children, God created us to be. You got it. Let's do it a little bit louder. God created us to be a disciple of Christ, but God works too. All right. Now, we've talked somewhat about God's role. I want to get focused more on our role, your role in discipleship. If you want to look, there's just one quick verse. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says this. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then he called to the crowd. He called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Remember we said that we need to respond to God's lead. We need to follow God's lead. These are words of Jesus. If you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. I told you it can't be all about us. And sometimes it's hard for us to get past that. We don't like to admit that. We don't like to admit we've got egos that won't quit. But discipleship has to go there. And then taking up our cross. In Jesus' time, taking up the cross, it was understood that was a death march. Because if you remember the crucifixion, Jesus actually carried his cross. Take up your cross. So that was a significant thing there. So when we're talking about taking up our cross, when Jesus talks about denying yourself and taking up your cross, he's talking about dying to yourself. Not allowing all of your wills, your desires, not just saying, okay, I'm going to give God this part, but here I am over here, and I'm still going to do this because this is just me. This is just who I am, and even though it may not be exactly what God wants me to do, I'll do what he wants me to over here, but I'm going to do this. You can't do that. You have to, that's what it means taking up your cross, completely dying to yourself. And we have to do that on a daily basis because of who we are, and just our human nature pulls us back to those places. And following Christ. So now let's look at that scripture again where it says go. It starts with go. And this can be deceptive. In fact, I realize as I preached about it, there are probably times I have not preached it in the way that now I think fits most directly with the scripture. People love to focus on go. Go and make disciples. And so the command seems to be go. And even though I've said it, that's what I put on the screen. The command isn't going. In fact, if that's what it was, too many of us would say, you know, we had a lot of people in my church that went to Haiti, and that was probably a good thing, but you know, God didn't lead me to go to Haiti. That wasn't what it was about, so you know what? I'm off the hook. Nope, you're not. This go doesn't, it's not even a direct action like saying to go somewhere and do something. This is as you go, wherever you go, no matter where you are. Make disciples. The command is make go and make disciples. As you go, make disciples. And this isn't just being said to a few people. This is for every believer. You, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He has commanded you, as you go, to make disciples. So what does this look like? All right, I've had the younger ones. All right, all middle schoolers and high schoolers, raise your hand. Middle schoolers, high schoolers, raise your hand. All right, Jesse, you're still in school. That works. Okay, I want you to think about this for a minute. You're at school. School is supposed to be a priority. I will never tell you school is not supposed to be a priority. But how are you supposed to be a disciple at school? I want you to think about that for a moment. And as a student, your classes are important. Your grades are important. And I don't want you to back off of that one bit for any reason. But what I do want you to understand is that that is not your main goal in life right now. Your main goal in life is to be a disciple for Christ. Now, in being a disciple for Christ, I honestly believe what's tied up in that is also doing your best academically, because God wants to use that. God wants to develop you, and God wants to use teachers and different type of things going on at school, different types of activities to be able to do that. But your main thing is being a disciple of Christ if you're a believer. So I ask you, we'll just take one specific thing. You're going to, how many of you eat lunch at school? Eat lunch at school? Okay. All right. You go to lunch. I'm going to suggest even going to lunch isn't just about putting food in your body. Because children, we are created to be. All right. You were created. All right. Let's again. We were created to be disciples of Christ. So that's what we're supposed to be at lunch. And we're to be aware of that. And so what could that look like? That could mean that wherever you're sitting, it affects your conversation, it affects the peers you're around, it affects your choices, it affects your desire for recognition. These are just a few things, looking at them really quickly. The conversation you have. What words do you use? How do you describe other people and other things? But then not only that, what is your reaction to the words other people use and what they say? How is this discipleship? It's following God's lead. And as you follow God's lead, remember I said Matt was doing some things that people couldn't imagine? When you begin doing that, you begin to change in ways that people see some things, and what you do impacts them. And all of a sudden, you're having an influence that you wouldn't have had otherwise. Choices. The choices. You make so many choices at middle school and high school every single day. And I don't have time to go into all of them, but you make choices about your friends. You make choices about clothes you're going to wear, you're not going to wear. You make choices about words you're going to say. You make choices about how you're going to apply yourself to your grade. You make choices about how you're going to respond to your teacher. There's so many of them. You couldn't even keep track of them all. And then one of the big ones is recognition. How do you want to be recognized? And how does discipleship play a part in that? And I tell you, social media has just taken this by storm. Social media is people creating who they want people to see. But what does it look like if you use that in forms of discipleship and genuineness? And not just that, but maybe spending less time doing that and more in person. And you know what? It was easy for some of you parents and adults to sit here and listen to me lecture, so to speak, these middle schoolers and high schoolers about this, but you know every single thing I said for them is so true for you too. Your job, or even if you don't have a job, if you're retired, think about your conversations. Think about your peers. Think about your choices. Think about what's important to you and how you want to be seen by others. It's true of every single person in this room. So when we're talking about our role, when we're talking about going, it doesn't mean, it's not all about that we go to some third world country and we serve. In fact, sometimes that would be the easy thing to do, because we can go and do that for a week and put on our good behavior and do that and come back and then celebrate the fact we've done what God wanted us to, and we can take a break from it. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is as you go, living out the instructions God has given you and then being able to teach those to someone else, sharing the love of Christ. I had more than I was going to say, but I'm just going to touch on it. Others as you go can include family. And the word I wrote beside family were button pushers. Do you have button pushers in your family? Do you know what buttons to push on someone in your family? Almost everybody in here is smiling because you know what I'm talking about. But discipleship can be a part of that too. And you can interject discipleship in terms of the buttons you choose to push. But you can also respond different ways when people have pushed your buttons. And that becomes discipleship. Several of you in here, because I've had conversations with you, not everybody, but a lot of you in here, one thing it's a part of your job is going to conferences. You go to conferences for different things, for training, for learning, for maybe some of you even lead conferences, that type of thing. What is your purpose in going to a conference? If you think about it, I think when you go into a conference, you're doing what your boss tells you to do, or if you're the boss, it's about making money and profit and making the line come out where it's supposed to be at the bottom of the business. And all of that's fine and good, and I'm not saying you have to change that. I'm just saying, as a believer, if we're following Christ, the most important thing is going to be being a disciple. And God's going to bless you with the rest of it in ways you can't imagine. I'm not going to say you're going to get more money because of it, but I promise you, you'll be more blessed. If we understand that children, God created us to be. Now, as Christian, the only one that remembers this, God created you to be. Okay. All right. I'm going to give you one more chance. Y'all better get it together for my last one. All right. Go was one commitment. The next one is baptize. Baptize, you follow through with the introduction to Christ. It's not just about living a life in a way that people see what's going on and you're just a good example, but you have to understand. That's why it begins with your relationship with Christ, and you convey that to others, and you carry through in helping to introduce them to a body of believers and understanding that baptism is a way of following through with the example Jesus Christ gave us. But that's not the end. Too many churches, too many pastors, too many people that claim to be evangelized and say, okay, got that one. Told them, did all this, got baptized, I'm done with that one, let's go to the next one. No. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of growing and understanding, and you don't drop them like a hot potato just because you got a mark on the roll book at church. Baptism is, for us, is a symbol of what happened in their life, but this is something we need to continue. This is a new thing for them. They don't have everything they need to know, and God will give it to them. But God, if you've been a part of helping to bring them along to that point, don't you think God wants to use them? And don't you think they're probably as comfortable with you as anyone else being a part of help to continue that journey? So recognizing this is a beginning, not an end. And then finally, teaching. This is a long-term commitment. You teach by example, by living the way God leads you to on a daily basis. And going back to what we said before, that you recognize your life has meaning and purpose, and you wake up and your day is different, and people begin to see that, and they want that as well. Not that they want to be you, but they want their life to model some of the same things you are, and you're able to point to that because of the instruction you've been given. And you don't even have to go and teach them. If you're living a life like that, they won't say, Linda Ray, how do you do that? How do you do that? I know what you do in a day. I know all those kids that you have to deal with. Yet somehow or another, when I do look at Facebook, I see these things, and what you put is just amazing, and it cracks me up, and it makes me roll on the floor. Your perspective is something that I wouldn't have. Yet in the midst of that, I see the love that you have for these very children who impact your life so deeply. You don't have to go and instruct people. People come to you asking for instruction because of the way you're living your life. And it's always, always grounded in Scripture. We have to go back. We have to be tied to Scripture ourselves. Children, God created you to be a... Very good. I pray you'll remember what our children have told us today. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. And I believe we're just getting started. We're just getting started. This is the statement I want to close with. God is committed to our discipleship and brings divine contacts into our lives and into the lives of those we're discipling. God works in us in significant ways, but we don't have to figure it out on our own. There's some people who come to me, Greg, I just want to know what it is God wants to do with my life. God lets you know every day what He wants to do. But discipleship involves bringing divine contact into our lives and into the lives of those we're discipling. And it happens without us sometimes knowing it till we're in the midst of it. We simply respond to Christ. And if we begin doing that, you're not going to do it and all of a sudden your life is going to overnight be that way. But if you make efforts, if you allow the Spirit to move, not on what I said, but what the Spirit said in your life today, changes can begin that will take you to a different place. So I invite you to hear the Spirit and respond as the Spirit leads. I'll be here to receive anyone that may want to make a commitment or pray with. The altar's open. You're free to have conversations with people that are here if that's what God's leading you to do. Respond to God's Holy Spirit. Let's sing together.
Please stand.